Today's sermon is entitled, Honesty is the Best Policy. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our grateful hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now those who say there is no resurrection have a question for Jesus about the resurrection. We sense a trap meant to pit Jesus against Moses. The radical teacher against the father of Judaism and how it is practiced. It's a trap. Surely no faithful Jew would speak against Moses, Abraham, or Elijah, the very mouthpieces of God. But it was a fair question for a group of religious teachers and temple officials who believed only in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Torah, and did not accept as canonical anything else. This included a lot of new developments in Judaism, including the concept of resurrection, which is only first explored in some depth during the time of the writing of the book of Daniel, written some 800 years after the books of Moses first appeared on the scene. Now, the Sadducees, they enjoyed their tradition. They reveled in their status and the power it imbued to them, particularly under Roman occupation and rule. So, the question of the Sadducees seems strange. If they don't believe in the circumstances into which they're inquiring, what in fact are they asking? Well, this much is clear. They're unsure about endings. Jesus' questioners start from the same place that he does. Both the teacher and his skeptical hearers revere their tradition. They're faithful Jews, lauding the writings of Moses as sacred text, but they do not know where the journey ends. So they ask, as jaded but honest and skeptical pupils, how does this line of thinking things alive again align with the tradition that they both so love and trust? Jesus answers by saying what he says that Moses has said. He's hardly being unfaithful to the text. But in doing so, he exposes holes in the culture, the places where religious thinking is still in process. You see, people then as now, that, and particularly though back in biblical times, people back then spent their entire lives falling into cultural expectations. And one of these was marrying or being married off, and rules about birth order or inheritance or all kinds of things that have to do with family. These are the walls of their lives. The place in which they live, their religion, their prescribed social roles become their liturgy. Such expectations are so immense that the Sadducees have shaped their spiritual thinking in this direction. But to fulfill cultural expectation is to take up residence in that particular age. Moses' instructions on the social aspects of life have collided with the questions of the afterlife. But Jesus has an answer. Stop trying to combine the two. Don't force this temporary life into the mold of permanence for all time. God is not of the dead, but is God of the living. Marriage belongs in this present place, in this world, for sure. But a union far greater resides in union with God. Why think of marriage and progeny as our life's mission? This is dead thinking. Why not instead thinking about joining with God, the one who makes all living possible? What does that kind of increase in life look like? Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that marriage is not important. Our partnerships matter. It's the difference between death and life in some circumstances. Marriage helps us understand union with another, and it prepares us. And it prepares a way for death through the chapters of our life. Whether there's one such chapter or in the story of the Sadducees, 7. But let's not get distracted. Our life's work is going to the moon. It's not about seeing fingers pointing to the moon, all these stories. Our destination is the moon, union with God. So let's not get all worked up, and let's not get all jammed up with worrying about the fingers. The resurrection reminds us of the partnership that God made with humanity, the partnership of us and God aimed toward life. To try to force the form of a limited earthly life into the expanse that is life with God only shows the shortcomings of this age and our egos taking over again. To think of true life is to think of outside this life. It's bigger than that. It is to leave time to its own devices, knowing that life together ultimately takes on a different hue. Life with God takes on a different hue, a way of being that exceeds the limits of how we can currently be. To refer to this age is not an insult. We all live in this age, the little time that we have in our earthly lives. It's a reminder that God, who created this age, lived in it as a teacher and pushing for his hearers to understand it only as a moment, not the be and all of all things. It's bigger than that. It's important to help others understand that all things pass away when it comes to the kingdom of God and kingdom living. We don't need to worry about all this stuff and inheritances that we've accumulated or the social status or power of our beings once we're dead. It's all passing away. It's all leaving us. When things pass away, our lives transform into something entirely different after we die. All are equal before God. Money doesn't get you into heaven. The resurrection presents a lesson in time. Moses understood this, that life can be found again on the other side of death. A bush of fire tells Moses that things that should consume life like fire are in fact under the will and control of God. Think of this in another way. In other words, God speaks to Moses while a bush does not burn. Two impossible things that nevertheless enter into the realm of the possible. Maybe Moses learns that the resurrection can look like not being consumed by that which should consume us. Resurrection often looks like the opposite of what should be. God's being has been present in the resurrection since before Moses, though. Resurrection life is eternal. And God and the resurrection is in Abraham, going to a new land under God's command and fathering a child at an impossible age of 99. God in resurrection is in Isaac being carried to near his death with the hope that life might be on the other side. God in resurrection is in Jacob's wrestling with God and surviving and thriving in what should have killed him. Resurrection means living on, even though the circumstances should not allow it to be so. Resurrection. Resurrection is the miracle of persisting, the glory of life where it's not expected to survive or thrive. In the Sadducees story, the woman outlives all the men whose lives were supposed to enhance her own. And the Sadducees inventory the men whom this woman was not able to keep alive. The misfortune of death appears to be the woman's lot, they say, in the inventory of her life. But instead, Jesus inventories Moses. His genealogy points to Moses as the resurrection of the Spirit for their people, for God was with him. Resurrection life is where God is, across generations, across circumstances. The Sadducees focus on the men dying. Jesus sees how the generations have lived on. And the woman's resurrection does not rely on these men one iota. You see where I'm going with this? This is tough stuff, isn't it? We have to be careful about defining resurrection. I want to leave you with this final thought. We have to be really careful about defining resurrection. Resurrection is the belief that God gives new life in our transcended spirit to those who have died. Now, it's different from immortality, which is the view that there's something inherent in humans that never dies. Immortality is a theory about the nature of humans. Resurrection, however, is the conviction and belief about the act of God, that God, which has acted in relation to real people throughout history and through whom we still experience spiritual events. God is indeed eternal. Throughout the New Testament, faith in life after death is expressed through resurrection, not immortality. Resurrection is about how everyone is claimed as a child of God, rested from the sureness of death. Because to God, all are alive. And for that transformed life that is here and beyond our sight, thanks be to God. Amen.